And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 177, reviewing the first base position for the 2024 season. On Tuesday, we recapped the catching position. We're coming at you on an afternoon on a Friday because stuff happens and we're having fun around here on these streets. But we'll get the first base preview or review from 2024 for you, plus a little housekeeping along the way. But before we get to that, make sure you follow myself on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We're doing great. We are less tired than normal on our normal Tuesday and Thursday nights, as you would know. Apologies for the delay. I know there was, I assume there was widespread panic and chaos when the country woke up this morning and did not see the Bubba and the Bloom first base review in their podcast feeds. I had a scheduled power outage in my neighborhood last night that started at 8 o'clock, which is pretty much right when we record. So could not do the podcast, but appreciate everyone's patience. And hey, maybe we get some East Coasters, some matinee crowd in the chat here. So if you guys don't normally get to follow along while we're live, feel free to post in the chat and we'll bring up your comments if they're good as we go.
If they're good. Well said on that one. A couple bits of housekeeping here. We're going to keep bugging you until it fills. We have three spots left at First Pitch Arizona Golf. A little scheduling change for some, but we got three spots left for golf. So if you're interested in that, hit up Ryan or myself. We'll get you in there to get five foursomes for the weekend, Sunday afternoon golf. That'll be a fun one. That'll be like the third, right, Ryan? Third? Yeah.
The third. 3 weeks. 3 weeks, man. 3 weeks from today will be our live show at First Pitch. So. Very excited for that.
Very, very excited for that. That'll be awesome as well. Martin Sikolsky says, is Bloom living off the grid? What is this scheduled power outage you refer to? Must be a West Coast. It is a West Coast thing. I will subject to that. Yeah. The thing is, I get like notices for a power outage and it just never happens. Yours actually happened like 2 minutes earlier.
Oh, they said between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m., which is like we got a thing in the mail. And I was like, damn, that's a weird, like, why not just do 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. or something, but whatever. 7:58 lights went out, and it was actually only out for like an hour. It was back up at 9, so we actually maybe could have recorded last night, but I was not ready. I was not ready for that.
That's fine. It's all good. John Wilder joins us. What's up?
Hey, John. About
time to show for the East Coast. John was a top three finisher in the Bubba and the Bloom Listener League. So welcome to the visiting us live this time around, John. I hope we help you finish like sixth this next year or something. Also, besides the golf, a little playoff talk just for fun before we talk first base, Ryan. As of this recording time, the Yankees took down the Royals in four, and they will face the winner of the Guardians and Tigers who have game five on Saturday. Got moved up to 1:08 local time, I believe, due to weather. So that's going down by Boyd versus Scooble, which is, oh boy, good stuff there. And on the National League, the Mets took down the Phillies that in rather dominating fashion, actually, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And then we got a game five on Friday evening, the night of this show, between the Dodgers and the Padres, Yamamoto versus Darvish, Japanese battle in LA. That's going to be a fun one. So any thoughts on the playoffs? Because it's been some of the better television I've seen for the past week.
This has been one of the better postseasons, at least so far in recent memory. That Francisco Lindor Grand Slam, man, yeah. I had it on while I was working the other day. It's just one of those moments for Met fans that, they will remember. That was incredible. I don't know how Lindor did that without any reaction at all.
Just like a casual stroll, like April 22nd two-run homer.
Yeah. Certainly hope that tonight's Dodgers Padres game is close. I don't want another a lot of those games as much drama as there has been in that series. There have been a couple games where it's like early lead and then you're just kind of riding it out. So can't wait for that Friday night game, and then hopefully just keeps getting better from there. No matter what, the National League series is going to be the NLCS is going to be nuts. So it's been fun, man.
Yeah, it's been great.
How many pennant teams do you still have in the running? I've got one. I drafted 10 of them, and I've got one, and that is a Padres Yankees team. So I could be totally out if the Padres lose. But
out of my 13, I have two left. The two that are in first place One's a Yankees Padres, which could be fun. So we need the Padres. The other one, I don't think is as fortunate. The other one's a San Diego Cleveland. So I could have two going through. I have a couple second place. I have like four second place teams. So I guess we'll see how that shakes out. But I got two pretty good teams there. But again, as we talked about earlier, before the playoffs, I went heavy Padres. So need some Padres to make some noise on Friday evening in LA.
And I mean, normally you'd root for the Dodgers, but I guess because of that, you're gonna go San Diego.
Yeah, following my finances and not my heart on that one, of course. So definitely go Padres. A couple more comments in the chat here. We'll try to keep getting to you guys where it matters as usual. John Wilder says, about to make my sixth round pick in my first 2025 draft. He's in the same draft with Martin Sikolsky. Love you, D-Gens. You guys are great. Absolutely good stuff there. So yeah, keep them coming. We're in round 18.
We're in round something.
Meatball draft. It's moving slowly, but it's moving, which is fine. I'm part to blame for that. So
same here.
All right, let's get to it, Ryan. First base review for the 2024 season. As the catcher's one, we will go through the top 30 ADPs, talk a few other things. I'll let Ryan break down what we're looking at on the Bloom board, Mr. Ryan Bloomfield.
All right, so similar to the catcher review, we've got the top 30 ADP at first base with the end of season ranking. So 2024 rank, we got a column for that, and then color-coded their end of year stats, average home runs, and stolen bases. So similar format to last show. We'll kind of run through the top 10, 15, and then hit on some of the later pockets. One thing to me, as I was prepping this, that completely jumped out, dude, it was not only Salvador Perez finished second at first base, which is just bonkers. We talked about Salvador Perez's season on the catcher review, but this was a bad year. For first base. So I took the Fangraphs player rater, the top 12, similar exercise to what I did with catchers, which was mostly even from last year to this year in terms of like the top 12, what those guys earned. In 2024 this year, the top 12 first baseman, again, this is including Salvador Perez, averaged $16 in 5x5 earnings, $16. Last year, this group, $22. Wow. So first base last year was much, much better than what we saw this season. A couple reasons for that. Last year, we had two $40 players at first base. That was Matt Olson and Freddie Freeman. This season, we did not even have a $30 player. Vlad Jr. was number one at $29. We only had Vlad Jr. was also the only $20 player at first base this year. Again, if you don't count Salvador Perez. So we only had one $20 player at first base. Last season, we had six. So all of these kinds of things kind of combined to say this was, we can look at the chart and say if you went early at first base, like you were pretty good, since, and we'll talk about the individual players. But as a whole, this group just did not earn what they did last year at the top.
That's wild. That it matches up kind of what we talked about at the end of I guess our first 11 rounds of our meatball draft, when I said first base sucks and I didn't have a first baseman yet at the time. And technically I do, but I don't know if I really do at this moment in time as well. We'll see, buying the dip type thing, but it, like, just the discussion you had there, and we'll go through these players. It dries up rather quickly again in these early drafts. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. That's for sure. I don't know. These reviews mean a lot to help trigger the mind for some deeper options at the position, is the best way I'll say it, or things that might have been missed. So I'll just wrap it up with that. Let's get to it. We'll break down the top 15, and then we'll kind of go through the bottom 15 according to ADP, like we did for catchers, and go from there. Hopefully have some fun debates along the way. I don't think there'll be a Will Smith here, but we'll see. At the first base position, the first baseman off the board, with an ADP of 9, Freddie Freeman of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who can't even walk right now. It's insane. He finished the year 5th at the position, which, all things considered, not too bad, because it seemed like just a boring year for him, Ryan, after that monster 2023 season, where we saw him hit .331, 29 homers, 23 steals. This last year, still got 22 homers, 9 steals, though, kind of back to the norm for him. 23 is definitely an outlier for for Freeman, but the 282 average and the runs and RBIs, which we usually count on as like a locked in combined almost 200, it feels like, not even getting there, getting to not even 170 or maybe close to 170.
Yeah,
that was a bummer. So what's your thoughts on what we saw with Freddie Freeman?
Especially when he had last year, 2023 is the outlier, certainly right for Freeman. Last year, he had 131 runs.
Yeah.
He was down 50 runs from last year, went from 131 to 81, down 50 points in batting average. Like, stolen base total got cut in half from that 23 back down to that 9. And this kind of goes along with what I was saying earlier about, yes, even though Freddie Freeman finished fifth at the position, at a, you know, in a vacuum, you're like, that's okay. Freddie Freeman only earned, again, this is from the Fangraphs player rater, $17 in 5x5 earnings compared to last year's 40. So this was absolutely a disappointment. I took Freeman in labor, and I think to even add insult to injury with Freddie Freeman is the guys going right around him, right? Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Jose Ramirez, Shohei Ohtani, like, could have had, you know, and maybe any one of those guys or maybe two or three of those guys going Freeman instead. Again, didn't kill you because it wasn't like a disaster season, but man, it was a pretty big step back for Freddie.
Yeah, massive step back. And I know you were all in on him this last year. Like, he didn't crush you by any means, but it wasn't what you were going for at that ADP. It worries me because, like, I was getting excited about him because it was a steady five category guy. I think we all agreed the stolen bases at 23 was kind of an outlier. It was an outlier, not kind of, it was an outlier. But just to see the lack of the run production in that offense, and I know it's something I think it was last year I said it. We talk about all these elite offenses, like with the Braves and stuff, and the Braves offense just stunk to begin with.
Yeah.
But everyone talks about they're going to score all these runs. Well, not everyone's going to get 100 RBIs and 100 runs. That's just not possible. It's someone's going to be the kind of thief of joy if you just want to round it. Like, Shohei Ohtani's hitting 50-something home runs. There's not a lot of guys on base. I know he's leading off, but he's not on base for Freeman. And then you throw some other caveats in there. It just takes things down a bit. And then when you have Will Smith hitting behind you, that's not going to help you at all.
Yeah, so you had to bring Will Smith into the conversation.
That really puts a damper on getting 131 runs scored. So let's just be real about the situation. So curious to see how, you know, offseason where he kind of maybe falls to, because he's not going to fall deep. People know how good he is. His track record's really good, and he could be a nice like round two bounce back, because I don't think he's gone much farther than that.
So basically, to review, it was all Will Smith's fault that Freddie Freeman sucked this year. Yeah, the discourse this offseason on Freddie is going to be fascinating. This could be one of two ways. It could just be a down year and the track record's amazing, or as Martin says in the chat, you know, it felt like the start of the dreaded decline, and at this age, you know, that could certainly happen as well. So a very interesting player who, again, I think probably goes early, mid-second round next year.
Yeah, John Wilder right here, before we even get to it, says a catcher finishing as a second-ranked first baseman tells you all you need to know at the position. It's not wrong. Not wrong, folks.
Yep.
Matty Olson, we talked about the discourse for Freeman this offseason. Olson's going to join the club on this one. ADP of 17, second first baseman off the board, finished seventh at the position. Again, finishing seventh, that's great. When he's basically a turn pick and a 15, not so much is the problem here. And Matt Olson on the season at 247. So, you know, after 283, back down to 240, which is, it's weird. He's on 271, 240, 283, 247. Who is it? And the strikeouts have been very much the same the last 3 years, but only 29 home runs. That's the least amount of home runs he's hit since 2018. I'm not counting the COVID year. 2018, folks. That's a long, long time. And he still got close to 100 RBIs, which is great, but another down year for Olson. And a lot of this came late in the year, too, with Olson. He really struggled early.
Yeah, I mean, the first half, second half splits for Olson. I mean, it was 12 home runs in the first half. Like, and obviously no steals. That's another thing that Freddie Freeman at least brought to the table if you were making that choice last year. But yeah, this was, I mean, we all knew Matt Olson wasn't going to repeat 2023. That wasn't really a question. I think this guy was a top five player in the entire pool last season. But for Olson to fall this far back, I think was pretty staggering. Yes, did turn things around a little bit. Second half had those 17 home runs, so like a 35 homer pace at 252. So that doesn't really kill you. And I honestly think he'll be fine again next year. I think the salt in the wound was just every player, like you mentioned, Bob. Every Brave just being terrible, not named Marcelo Zuna, factored into the counting stats as well. So just a bad year for Matt Olson's strikeout rate. Like you said, kind of stayed steady. So I think he's more a 250 hitter than the 280, the 270 that we've seen in odd years. But major step back for Matt Olson. I don't think anyone really thought it'd be this bad from him.
Yeah, I don't think I thought it'd be this bad. That's kind of a trend for a handful of these top first basemen, and we'll keep going through them here. But Bryce Harper wasn't one of them per se. He was an ADP of 19, third off the board, finished third at the position, came out the gates swinging like a gangbuster. Things slowed down for him as the season went on. It's kind of an opposite of the Matt Olson situation. Harper still, finished well, all things considered, 285, 30 home runs, 85 and 87, but you'd expect more. Now, the power, not so much, but the run production, especially on that offense, steals down to 7 and might have been playing hurt. There are question marks with Harper still, honestly, kind of in line with his last couple of seasons with more power, but I think people are hoping for like that big breakout MVP season. I know I thought he could get there, so kind of a bummer, but still not bad at all.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, you still get pretty good five category production from Harper with the 285, 30 homers, 7 steals. Like to see him run a little bit more, but I don't know. It looked like a minimum stint on the IL with a hamstring. So that may have been driving the lower stolen base total, but I think unlike Olson and Freeman, you weren't like terribly pissed if you got Harper. Yeah. At a 19 ADP and he returned like 20, what'd he get? Yeah. $20 in value. So not like awesome, but wasn't too bad. Certainly better than Freeman and Olson at the price.
Yep. I'm with you. All right. Let's talk Big Meat Pete, the polar bear, who's having quite the off season, postseason, I should say. But many were trying to get rid of him before that. Even Mets fans are like, we don't want him on the team. He's garbage. Can't handle this. Big Meat Pete was the fourth off the board with an ADP of 30, finished sixth at the position, which is still good. Hit 240 on the season, up from 217 in 2023, which was a plus, still down from the previous two seasons. 34 home runs, though. That's the least he's hit since of his career outside of COVID year. So that's something. Didn't get to 100 RBIs for the first time in the last 3 years. So all in all, people were very, very disappointed with what they saw from Pete Alonso this year. But again, sixth of the position didn't crush you either.
Yeah, and I remember the discourse around Alonso like entering the season was that 217 batting average, and really behind it, like the awful 205 BABIP. It was one of the worst BABIPs in an entire season in recent memory. I would have thought the batting average would have gone even higher than 240. I was thinking 260. Alonso's strikeout rate has kind of steadily ticked up over the last couple seasons, 19% last year, then 23, and then 25% this year. So that is why, the BABIP came right back to where it's been previously. So that wasn't an issue. Slight drop in power, but still had 57 barrels, had 62 the year before. So only 5 fewer barrels despite 12 fewer home runs. The obviously the huge question with Alonso, where's he at next year? But we have plenty of time to speculate on that. So we wanted more. I was thinking more 260, 40 homers, but again, not a disaster. And again, that's kind of the theme of these early first basemen, was like none of them really destroyed you, but none of them, you were maybe outside of Harper, you were super thrilled with if you went early first base.
And Alonso's interesting because you mentioned it, the hard hit rate and the barrel rates were pretty darn good, all things considered. Yeah. Like back to normal, the BABIP back to 276, which was right in line with his two really good seasons before last year. But his ground ball rate jumped 6%, which if I'm thinking hard hit ground balls, I figure the BABIP would go even higher because you get more hits and the batting average would go higher. Must have been atom balls type situations, which gets pretty interesting. But he's a tough one. Where's he going to land is the $1 million question for sure. So we'll have to see that one. MB's in the chat asking, how do we have guys ranked where they're? This is where they are drafted in 2024, MB. This has nothing to do with our preferences at all. So
yeah, they're listed in preseason draft order, and then the 2024 rank column is how they finished.
Yeah,
so hope that helps,
and that should definitely clear up some things with guys like Torkelson and Vinny P, who you're asking about. All right, the fifth first baseman off the board with an ADP of 33. So there's four first basemen on the first two rounds of a 15-teamer. Then comes Vladdy, and then a drop in ADP. So you basically have five in the first two rounds, and it goes crazy. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. finished first at the position, and this was a heck of a year from Vladito. Dude hit 323, which is outstanding, still with amazing play discipline skills. 30 home runs, which is his third season of 30 or more. 103 RBIs, second time in his career over 100 RBIs, 200 combined runs and RBIs, which is great. So awesome season from Vladito. Still a ground ball machine, but all in all, this is a great season. And man, this is going to catch my attention coming into next year. Yeah. That's for sure.
I mean, I think it's only going to fuel the Vlad discourse all offseason, because we saw the ceiling from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It was that second half where the guy hit 350 with 17 home runs. Like, that is, the second half was just nuts. I mean, Vlad did this through April. Vlad hit 219 with two home runs. Like, so you're basically doing, now I remember this because I took Vlad in my biggest money league and was pretty disappointed pretty far into the season. And then the second half run was just nuts. The biggest thing with the second half was that ground ball fly ball shift. First half was a 52% ground ball rate, down to 44 in the second half. So that fly ball rate inching up to 40% for Vlad, like, it's easy to say that's all he needs to do. But dude, if he holds that for a whole season, I mean, this is a top five player. I mean, it's even without the stolen base contributions, what Vlad does. And he did this in a Toronto offense that, I don't know if Joe Arico's in the chat, but that made Joe Arico question life sometimes. So awesome season from Vlad. You kind of see both ends of the spectrum. We saw what he could do early in the season. It was awful. We could also see, I think it was about the 2021 version of Vlad come out in that second half, and it is real and beautiful.
Yep. He helped me in tout quite a bit. Drafted him because of his OBP skills. I got way more than I bargained for on that one. So yeah, he's a heck of a ball player. Just imagine if he ever has that one year where like the 48% ground ball just drops to like 40%. Holy crap. That's going to be wild, because always hit the ball hard. Let's just see if he can really, really put it together. All right, here's a conundrum for many people. His name's Cody Bellinger. Sixth first baseman off the board, ADP of 71. Finished at 11th of the position. And to me, that says a lot about the position, that Cody Bellinger finished 11th. Played in 130 games, just like last year, or 2023, I should say. But did battle injuries. Still had 18 homers. Only 9 steals, though, after back-to-back double-digit steals. 266 average. So all things considered, to me, that's a bummer of a stat line for the sixth first baseman off the board, but maybe there's more to it. What's your thoughts on Cody? Cause I know you took him in the meatball draft.
I did take him in the meatball draft and kind of lucked out, because I thought Cody might only be outfield eligible next season, but the second to last week of the year, he got his 20th game at first base. So Cody Bellinger again enters, a season first base outfield eligible, which will certainly help. I actually don't think it was that bad of a year for Bellinger. He had the two IL stints. I mean, he fractured his rib like in late April and then broke his finger in July. So like two broken body parts to hit 266, 18 homers, 9 steals. That the reason why he's not higher is because of the volume, or the lack of volume. But even still, with the two broken whatevers, he still had 570 plate appearances. So this is someone who does play every single day if he can. And I think we were all kind of all expecting Bellinger to fall back this coming season, because we saw what we talked about a lot was the homer to barrel rate. Mm-hmm. He had the same number of home runs as barrels, which rough rule of thumb is like almost twice as many barrels to home runs. So we knew the power was going to fall back, hit the same number of barrels, and fell back only to 18. So I think what you hit on with like the stolen base total is probably the biggest disappointment. Another one where we'll see where he signs, but, not a bad year for Bellinger. A lot of it depends on what you did with his replacement while Bellinger was on the IL.
For sure. It's just a guy I always have a hard time pinpointing on what I want to do with Cody Bellinger, but I guess we'll see. If the price is right, if he's around 100, I'd be much more inclined to be interested in a guy like Bellinger.
Martin brings up a good point. Sorry to cut you off real quick, but the Cubs philosophy killed me. So Bellinger was, especially early in the season, the Cubs like did not run at all. If you had Nico Hoerner, Ian Happ, Swanson, obviously Bellinger, you got kind of hit by that. So I think with Bellinger, you know, where he signs is just as much as ballpark factor is, you know, team stolen base aggressiveness. And we can't predict that yet, but it's going to be a big factor in where he goes.
Yep, no doubt about it. The next one up here at ADP 99 at the round pick 100.
My man,
Paul Oldschmidt.
There you go.
Seventh first baseman off the board, finished at 17th. He'll be a free agent after this year, too. So that's been keeping me curious on what to expect. But hit 245, 22 home runs. That's the fewest home runs he's hit since 2014. He had 11 stolen bases for the second straight year, which was good. Again, 245 average. That's his worst batting average since of his career. So that's good. Good stuff there from Goldschmidt. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and give him another year on there, but nope. But when you look at Goldie, it is a tale of two seasons, like much better. He finished the year much better. I'll give him that credit. Hit 271 in the second half, but I'm just worried. The dude's 36. Like, where's he going to sign next year? Is it a full-time role? You'd imagine it to be full-time if he signs. You'd think so, but heck, there's a lot of platooning these days. What's your thoughts on this Goldie from 2024?
First off, the old, you know, the old man basically led first baseman in stolen bases. So technically Spencer Steer did. He had 25, but Steer also played third and outfield. So you may have used him elsewhere. But yeah, old man Oldschmidt with 11 bags leading first base is hope for all old people like us out there. I don't know what to do. So our famous beer bet of we'll talk about Christian Walker in a minute of Oldschmidt versus Walker. It certainly didn't go in my favor, but like the finish is kind of what kills me and makes Goldschmidt a very difficult,
yes,
very difficult projection for next year. Because I think it was easy to say, look at Oldschmidt's first half and be like, all right, it's pretty obvious that this guy is in decline, and you mentioned all the reasons for that. Then we saw a little gleam. I mean, second half at 270, 11 homers, 7 bags. And I mean, July 5 homers, August 4 homers, September a pair of them. So it's similar to what we were talking about with like Freddie Freeman. This goes one of two ways for Goldschmidt. It either rebounds, not to Freeman's level, but to something better than what we saw in 2024, or even that second half times two, or it continues to slide. I don't know. I don't know yet, but it was just interesting to see that when pretty much everyone wrote Goldschmidt off, he showed some signs of life again late in the year.
Yeah, no, like I said, I didn't know what to do with him because I needed a first baseman in the too early meatball draft. I kept passing. Someone else eventually took him, and I was every time my pick came up, I was very, very frustrated with that. Let's put it that way, because I was staring it right in the eye. I didn't know what to do, and you know, he could be a great value in these early drafts. It's the benefit of drafting early. He could be very beneficial because that finish to 2024 was very, very strong from Goldie, and it was great to see. Martin Sokolsky in the chat says from 18 to 2018-22, 5 out of 6 seasons over 300 against the fastball. Last two seasons, 240, 247. Can't get the velo anymore. Yep, that is something I remember Matt Thompson mentioned on my Cardinals preview. That was a big concern with the Goldie situation. PJ says choosing to wait on Naylor over Diaz or Hoskins pretty much doomer for me this year. First base was fun. That is the truth. So yeah, Goldie will be a fun one to kind of break down some more this offseason, but finished really, really strong. So the stat line doesn't give the whole story, that's for sure. Tristan Casas, ADP of 104, the 8th first baseman off the board, finished at the 53rd, but let's not forget, missed most of the season, ended up playing 63 games, still hit 13 home runs, hit 241, and it felt like he was really giving us glimmers of this is who I am as the time off the IL kept building. Like the average wasn't there in September, but the power numbers were definitely arriving. So what's your thoughts on what we saw with Tristan Casas, who is going to be a popular discussion point in 2025?
Yeah, I don't really know how much you can take away from Casas this season. Just, I mean, there's only 243 plate appearances, and we kind of got what we thought with the great power. Elevated K rate, over 30%. You don't like to see that. That's a 7-point jump from what we saw in 2023. I guess the biggest question is, like, how concerned are we long-term about Tristan Casas and, like, how hard he swings and that famous whatever car crash quote? Like, does that just kind of go away, or are we considering Casas to be an injury risk next season? I'm leaning the latter. If I'm going to be taking Casas anywhere near 100 ADP, that's what his ADP was last season, if that's close to it again. But yeah, I would say kind of a lost season, but now with that kind of elevated, in my opinion, injury risk, given what we saw from Casas this year.
Yep. No, I agree. Like, I'm very much in on Casas, but I think a lot of people are, because he's going plenty early enough in drafts. He's not like sleeping, falling under the radar in this one. So might not be my problem this year, but I'm very curious because the talent is legit. But yeah, some of those comments he made you kind of wary of what, how healthy is Tristan Casas.
Maybe that's just him being like a weird dude. And maybe if he wasn't so weird, it's like talkative that, you know, maybe that's common for, you know, kind of rib oblique injuries. And people don't say that. Like, players don't come out in the media and say that. So who knows? Maybe it's all overblown. I wouldn't be surprised.
For sure. The ninth first baseman off the board at ADP of 106 is Christian Walker. Finished 14th at the position, but that's because he missed a handful of games, only played in 130 games after playing 157 and 160 the previous two seasons. Kind of an Iron Man, but even in those basically 30 fewer games, put up 26 home runs with 84 RBIs while hitting 251, was on his way to another monster 30 home run, 100 RBI season for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and just, you know, wiped the mat with Oldschmidt.
So, no, he didn't, dude. This is hard disagree.
He was on his way to mat. He was on his way to wiping the mat before he got hurt. See, Goldschmidt just sucked. Walker actually got hurt. There's a big difference in this conversation.
So while Walker was sitting at home nursing his little oblique on the couch, what he was doing was really watching MLB TV, turning on the Cardinals game, and watching Goldschmidt pretty much wiped the floor with the second half. Was not a slam dunk. Christian Walker finished 14th, Goldschmidt 17th, man. So you wanted two beers on that beer bet, but it was actually kind of close.
It wasn't. If we do a per game basis, I'm pretty sure I smoked your ass. So,
hey, man. The bet's not per game. The bet's not per game. Walker was like, I had written that off halfway through the season. Christian Walker continues to just, and he is going to get paid. This was another kind of vintage Christian Walker season. Would have been another 30 plus home runs. I mean, 36, 33, and then would have been 30 again this year if not for the oblique. So how did he do when he came back?
It wasn't as great. I looked at that. His power was a little down. Batting average really struggled. September was not good for him.
He had some pop, though. He hit three homers, like decent HQ power metrics, PX and XPX. So, not too worried about him.
Oh, I'm not worried about him at all. Dude's bet. He's legit.
I will not be making the same
Christian Walker bet. You don't want a Christian Walker bet?
I mean, I may find an alternative to Oldschmidt, but it won't be Paul again.
A fun one to be like Tristan Casas for Christian Walker. That could be entertaining.
I'd take
Christian Walker because you're smart. All right. 10th first baseman off the board with an ADP of 115. Christian Encarnacion Strand somehow still finished 79th. There must only be like 80 guys at first base, but he hit 190 with two home runs on the season. Only played in 29 games as he just kept getting hurt, get hit by a pitch. It just kept unraveling. Currently playing in the Arizona Fall League right now. If you're looking to find an excuse to get the first, CES and Matt McClain are both playing at the Arizona Fall
McClain
League.
Right now. I didn't know CES was playing. They're is he going to stick around? Because the plan to.
They want him to get at bats because CES couldn't even get back there. So they're getting at bats in Arizona right now. They're both down there doing their thing. This is a complete washed season. Like, there's nothing I can take away from this. I think the talent's still legit. I think if you liked him last year, there's no reason not to like him this year, but I won't use everything. What's your thoughts on what we saw? Because we didn't see much in 2024.
We just didn't see much. And it was a total fluke injury as well. So, you summed it up well. If you like CES entering the season, you like him now. I wouldn't. It's awesome that he's at the AFL. I damn hope we get to see him in person. That would be really cool in 3 weeks. But even like his AFL numbers, don't look too much into that either. He's just trying to get reps and that. So I would not change. If you liked him last year, you like him next year. If not, then not. So
yeah, like Ryan says, I hope he's there because a lot of these quote-unquote bigger guys, bigger names, they just go for like a couple weeks, get their number of reps in and disappear.
Yeah.
Like we saw Tiedemann last year. You see with a lot of guys. So by the time we go to the AFL, it's the fourth week basically or so of the AFL. So then it's the hardcore prospects that are still there type thing. And so we'll see. I just have a hunch between McLean and CS, they need them to play like all 30 games, get those reps in. So
I know.
Their facilities are there. It must make sense to have them get their PET from the Reds guys. They're in Arizona. So be interesting to see how that one plays out. All right. Speaking of the Reds, going at the same ADP of 115 with the 11th first baseman off the board. And that's one Spencer Steer, who qualified at nearly every position, just doesn't qualify at mascot because he goes too high in drafts.
he's too popular.
But the weird thing with Steer is I know a lot of us are thinking, oh, there's no way he can do it again, playing time. Well, people get hurt. Spencer Steer did not. Played 158 games or 156 games in 2023, Ryan. 20 homers, 25 stolen bases. A nice, quiet 2020 season. Only hitting .225, though, which is a big drop-off from .271 in 2023. So what's your thoughts on what we saw from Steer in 2024, who took full advantage once again of all the playing time he could handle?
Yes, he did. And this is certainly one of my L's, one of my bigger L's of the season, because I just thought Spencer Steer had pretty much maxed out what he could do, both in terms of skills and volume in 2023. And I was wrong, right? Had 656 plate appearances. Did this from three different positions, and you kind of just
first base, third base, outfield next year too. Good Lord.
Yes. No, he didn't play third.
Did I read it wrong? Oh, it's 2023. My bad.
He'll be first. Still first outfield, but this past season being able to do, and maybe even second base too, because he had 16 games in 2023. So just a super a popular mascot is the right term with Spencer Steer. Most surprised by the stolen base total, right? Like he's 89% on the base pass and attempted to steal almost one out of every five times that he was on first base. So the Reds let him run, and for good reason. I'm not that concerned about the batting average drop from .271 down to .225 this past season. Strikeout rate stayed the exact same between the two seasons. It was a 60-point drop in BABIP, 318 to 260. So I think that settles somewhere in between, and Spencer Steer stays at like a, 240, 250 hitter. And if you can do that with 20 home runs in that park and steal 25 bags, like, God, that's good. And it's just it's crazy to see the CES Spencer Steer identical ADP. Yep. That changed a lot of seasons.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And the fact he played all those games in the outfield makes me feel better. Like with CES and McLean coming back, like that was a lot of the discussions with all these guys getting their shot is where to steer play last year. Yep. And guys got hurt. But even before they got hurt, he was in the outfield. And let's be real about it. Benson stunk this year. Fraley was whatever. Friedel was good, but hurt a lot. Like Steer's basically locked into like the left field. Like there's no reason so even if CES comes back and does his thing, Steer's playing, which is awesome. And that seems more clear this year than when we went into draft season last year, which is a plus. And I like that quite a bit. So big situation there with Steer. First base outfield will be nice as well, but a monster season. I guess the other question is with David Bell gone and Tito coming in, will they still run as much in Cincinnati? Because they ran wild. I'd imagine so, because J-Ram always had 30-plus steals. I don't know why Tito wouldn't, but you always have that question, the new manager philosophy, I guess, but I don't see that changing a ton in that scenario. All right, this one's fun. This is a dude that I was all over 2 years ago, and that is one Josh Naylor, the 12th first baseman off the board, ADP of 134, finished fourth at the position, and hey, I'm a big dude, so I'm going to say it. Watching the postseason, he's got that Pablo Sandoval lifestyle where he comes into spring training looking a little svelte. By October,
we've
been enjoying the buffet in the locker room. Let's put it that way. But, hey, still runs a lot faster than me, and I'd love to slam a couple beers with that crazy man. So Naylor's had a monster year, obviously, .243 average, which was the worst he's hit in his career, surprisingly. With 31 home runs, by far the most, 108 RBIs, 6 stolen bases. And like my argument always was, is let him play a full season. This dude can hit for average, which he really didn't, but I think the power was legit. Finally saw that, played more than 120 games essentially, and blossomed hugely. So I love Josh Naylor. Love the way he did this year. Wish I had more shares. What are your thoughts on Josh Naylor?
Well done. Well done. The hidden counting stats with Naylor, the runs in RBI, 84 runs, 108 RBI. It's just as huge as Naylor himself. I did not think this guy could hit 30 home runs. And I actually don't think he will again next year. This is a classic, like, this is why I look at homer to barrel rate. If you just look at Josh Naylor's just number of barrels last few seasons, it was 32, 32, and then 39 this year. So, you know, a few more barrels this year, but not a lot. Yeah. But the home runs went from 20 to 17 up to 31 this year. So 31 homers on 39 barrels in the same park as the last two seasons. Like, need to dig in a little bit more. Is he pulling it more or whatever? But I think this is more a 2025 home run guy, but you could also argue he deserved a lot better than a 243 batting average. So it probably all comes out in the wash for Josh Naylor. But no, awesome year. This is one of your boys at first base, and to finish fourth overall. Again, not like great given the state of first base, but still very, very strong pick if you waited on first base to these middle rounds, especially when we compare him to our next guy.
Yeah, I remember when I think it was when Lindor went to the Mets. Sorry, Guardians fans, to rehash that. I wrote an article back in the day for Rotoballer, and the park factor was a big thing because in Cleveland there, lefty power is way boosted, That's a thing there. But I don't know if that's changed. I know Michael C's in the chat saying they changed the dimensions or whatnot, so we'll have to see how that went. But it's something to worry about because the dude's almost he's like a 48% ground ball guy. So this could be like a Vladdy syndrome, has a big year. Then we have a year where the ball just doesn't fly out because he's hitting the ball on the ground so much. And, you know, still hits for a better average, but the power disappears. Because like John Wilder in the chat here said, did Naylor sacrifice some of the average for the power? Possibly, definitely. But if you look at the barrel rate, all that stuff, it's all the same. So it's not like he's, you know, and he's still hitting the ball on the ground a ton. I think he just took full advantage of the home runs, kind of like fly balls, like Ryan was saying. The home run to barrels are a bit lucky. And regression could be coming Naylor's way. But either way, monster season. And in that team's such a good young team that even if the home runs drop to 25, but the average comes up, the runs and RBIs are still going to be good. And maybe he steals more because he's on base more without the steals. Now you're getting 12 stolen bases or something. Like, there's a lot of avenues for Josh Naylor to still be very, very good. Not to mention he'll be 28. He's not that old. So, big year for the big man.
We just got to get Bo Naylor on the Josh Naylor way of life.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. Don't get me started on that one, because if it does happen here next year and I have no shares, I'm going to be very, very sad. Next on this list is my first baseman on the meatball draft. So let's look for a bounce back, folks. This is how bad things drop off in the first base position, everybody. The 13th first baseman off the board, ADP 142, spent probably half the season at least at AAA, Spencer Torkelson. Finished the year 219, 10 homers, no steals. After hitting 31 home runs for the Tigers in 2023, this was a just destructive season. And to make matters worse, is he thought maybe he got it going in the minors. Nah, hit 239 with 11 home runs over 58 games. Didn't get it going there much either. So, Ryan, what's your thoughts when you look at Spencer Torkelson? Because I bought the dip, got him in like round 16, which you never would have imagined going into the last season. But man, it was a rough year, and only like one hit in the postseason too.
Yeah, and I think when Torkelson got sent to the minors, I thought it was just a 1 week, 2 week kind of thing just to get him straight. And like you said, that's my biggest concern with Torkelson. He was basically a league average hitter at AAA this season. Had a 108 WRC plus. I mean, league average is 100, and struck out 31% of the time against AAA pitching. Like, the power was there, but man, if you have a 30% K rate in the high minors, like, what does that mean when you come back up and face major league pitching? So I mean, that's the biggest thing. I take more stock in Torkelson's, maybe I shouldn't, but I take stock in, you know, Tork's AAA performance more than I do what happened when he came back, and certainly whatever happens in the postseason with Tork. So I get the reason to pick him, and you took him. What round did you take him in our meatball draft?
I could tell.
I mean, just recently, right? It was probably like
round 16 or so.
Okay, yeah. So like, I get it there, but I certainly wouldn't rely on 16. Yep. 16. It's tough to rely on torque. You know, I'm not doing this as a dig to you. It's tough to rely on torque at first base.
I get it. It's not pretty, to say the least. I mean, one of those moves you're excited to make. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. But the obvious flip side is this is someone who, I mean, we'll look back at the second half of 2023, this guy and the prospect pedigree, like Torque was like a rising star. So, he has that somewhere in him. But no, 2024 was true. Oh, we've got a Ryan Healy comp in the chat from NB.
That's Ryan.
Even spells the name wrong, but R-Y-O-N. I love it. But yeah, Ryan Healy. Wow, man.
Martin says in the chat here, Torque's the anti-Serrano, kills the breaking ball, but JC, for those who have watched Major League, can't hit the heater. That's pretty funny. Yeah, Torque cannot hit the heater. Just watching the playoff at bats, like the most Tigers I've watched, and he's having a tough one up there. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
All right, the 14th first baseman off the board finished second in the position. That was Salvador Perez. We talked about him on the catcher review, so don't have a whole lot more to add here unless you have something to say first base related on this one, Ryan.
Nope, that number two next to 2024 rank for Salvador Perez is all you need to know about first base.
Pretty crazy. Went Vladdy, then Salvi, the big boys, and then Naylor fourth. Big boys getting some love at the first base position. Love.
Where's your boy? Where's your boy Rowdy? Where's he at in those in that top five?
You must have missed him in your algorithm or something. His month of June, he probably finished second at the position or whatever that month was. Other than that, it's not much there. The 15th first baseman off the board finished 26th of the position with an ADP of 149, and that was Yandy Diaz. Hit 281 this year, so another really good batting average here. 14 home runs, that's the tied for second best of his career. The runs in RBI is less than desirable, 55 and 65. Still a good year for Yandy. It's always so hard with me is he has to hit so well, like over 300 for me to be this like fantasy stud that everybody claims him to be. And that just always keeps me off of him. We saw it in 2023, saw it come back a bit in 2024.
Yeah. And that's very well put. The other thing I would add is Yandy Diaz's fantasy value also very much hinges on his supporting cast and getting those runs in RBI up. Cause this is the hitter he is. He's a high batting average guy, just hit so many ground balls. The home runs are not going to be there. He needs his lineup to be good in order for all of those hits to turn into runs and RBI. And unfortunately the Rays were the opposite of good this year. So not a terrible year from Yandy Diaz. It's just so much depends on what's around him. And again, this is kind of who he is. You don't hold a 50% ground ball rate with maybe league average power, maybe. And hit over 20 home runs. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. So I don't know. Yandy Diaz to me is just like a meh guy. If you need batting average at first base later on, he works, but it's not, never really someone I've been like excited to draft.
Yep, 100% with you on that one. All right, 16 through 20. We'll just kind of pick it apart as we feel. Jake Berger finished 13th at the position. He was 16th off the board. Luis Arraez finished 12th. Alec Baum finished 9th. That was 16, 17, 18, according to ADP. Vinny P finished 15. That's with missing a lot of some time as well. And then Rhys Hoskins finished 25th. So ADP 16 through 20, you had 13th, 12th, 9th, 15th at the position. And Rhys didn't crush you. Batting average did, but still finished 25th at the position. So what's your takeaway here? Because this is a fun window. If for some reason you waited on first base, you came out of this one feeling pretty good.
Pretty good if it depends if you cut Jake Berger or not, right?
That is true.
Because
when he got hurt, that is very true.
Right. So, like, I mean, Jake Berger was truly awful in the first half at 217 with 7 home runs. And then, well, I guess midway through that, he got hurt. Got hurt on April 15th is when he hit the IL and was just not good when he came back. So, I remember talking in the midseason recap episode is like, this also goes one of two ways. It's either this oblique kind of hangs around all season or Jake Berger gets healthy and becomes Jake Berger again. And yeah, we saw some Berger bombs in the second half. So I think Jake Berger was much more effective in IL leagues than non-IL leagues because he could hold him while he was gone. Yeah, so
true.
Outside of that, I don't know. This is just kind of a blah pocket to me. Like Arias, I just never know what to think of Arias just because four home runs, nine steals. I mean, it's just so hard to, I mean, for Luis, yes, Luis Arias hit 314. That's great. It's not good enough when you have four homers and nine steals.
This shows you how bad the position is, honestly, because even Alec Baum finished ninth. 280 average is good. 15 homers, five stolen bases. But the key caveat that's not on this board that made Alec Baum actually pay off this year, dude drove in 97 for the second straight year. That's the only reason he's ranked this high. Vinny P is actually Vinny P and Berger are the two I like up here the most. Like what Vinny P did, Vinny P was hitting pretty good. Right before he got hurt, he was crushing everything. Dude almost had 100 RBIs, had 19 homers. I think there's a ton to like there. And Reese is Reese now. I don't know what to think of him going forward. I don't know if the average is ever going to come back. The power is still going to be there if they let him play a full season. But eventually they're going to see that power, and he's going to turn into a probably platoon bat at some point in time for Reese, which is a bummer. So, yeah, it's just like you see Berger 13th, Arise 12th, Baum 9th, Vinny P 15th. I'm never going to draft Arise if he's going to give me four homers and nine steals. I don't care what your batting average is. Like, that's such a dead player at an ADP of 176. But Vinny P and Berger, very interested went on there, that's for sure.
And Alec Baum is kind of the example that I'm going to make with Yandy Diaz. They basically had the exact same batting average, the exact same home run total, and Alec Baum finished ninth, Yandy Diaz 26th. Five more steals for Baum, but the 97 or whatever you said RBI, the team context with Baum, that kind of makes my point, I think, if I'm going back to Yandy Diaz. But no, super, super high on Jake Berger entering 2025. Same for Vinny P. I think Hoskins might be cooked. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I keep looking at him in our meatball draft, and I'm like, I know I'm desperate, but I'm not been that desperate yet, let's put it that way. Like, he still might be better than Torque, but I'll take the young kid that might at least play every day unless they just completely DFA him. So I'll take my chances in that regard. 21 through 25, Isak Paredes, Candelario. Candelario got hurt. I'll give him that much. He was actually playing well until things got bad there. Your boy, Brandon Drury.
I was waiting to see if you'd preface that one.
Anthony Rizzo. You wrote a great box on him in the Forecaster, by the way. And Ryan Mountcastle, wrap up here. Mountcastle was hurt. Rizzo was hurt. Drury's stinks and was hurt. Candelario was hurt. Paredes just could never figure it out once he went to Chicago. They ranked 21, 32, 89, 54, 29. None of them helped you. Candy helped me until I dropped him because he got hurt. I will admit, I know I keep saying it, but he actually was very formidable before he got hurt and came back, and I don't think he was ever the same.
Yeah, this crew is part of the reason for some of my failures on my team, because I had a lot of I know you had a lot of Rizzo.
Yes.
I had a lot of Rizzo and Brandon Drury. I just remember us say, if you wait on first base, you can go Drury Rizzo here, and you'll probably be fine. And God, we don't need to talk about Brandon Drury anymore. Since my Forecaster box on him, the Isak Paredes regression was interesting to me, and some of that was because of the trade right away from the Trop with all that pull power and Wrigley only 19 home runs, 238 batting average. That was I think kind of expected, not the trade part, but the fallback part with Isak. Outside of that, I don't know. Yeah, Candyman's probably decent next year and just got hurt, but 20 home runs will be. We'll play in a partial season.
Most definitely. All right. 26 through 30, Andrew Vaughn, Justin Turner, Jake Cronenworth, Jose Abreu, Josh Bell, ADPs 247 to 304. Vaughn finished 30th, Turner 33rd, Cronenworth 18th, Abreu 109. And in the Dominican, Puerto Rican or Dominican Winter League, and Josh Bell at 28th. So a couple guys here didn't crush you if you got like a corner infielder here late. Just nothing overwhelming either.
No, and I mean, really, the last two pockets, 20 to 30 at first base, pretty much if you waited that long, you were totally screwed at first base. Like, Jake Cronenworth's the only one who was half decent, and you may have even been using him at second base or up the middle, so may not have even been used. That's probably my biggest takeaway at this position was, like, again, it was bad, but it was even worse if you waited.
Yeah, finding that out, 2025 might be the same. Speaking of other takeaways from the position, the elite guys still were good. Like the top five, they're fifth, seventh, third, sixth, first. They didn't crush you by any means at the position. Now, if you talk about, you know, ADP compared to dollars earned might be a different story because it's more of a detriment to the position.
And alternatives of other positions at those ADPs.
But, like ADP of nine. Like if we did a third chart that said overall Rasball or Fangraph rating, like Freddie Freeman's fifth at the position might be like 47th overall or something like that. And that changes up an ADP of nine a lot on this one. But after that, man, it gets brutal. Like the pocket from 11 to 15 had a couple. Honestly, 15 to or 16 to 20 is probably the best pocket out there if you have it for value wise, if you had to wait. But the other thing I was going to mention, top five ADP 9 through 33, then it dropped to 71. And then it was just pretty much, you know, sporadic throughout the rest of the draft after that. But there was a couple round gap of nothing.
Yeah. Freddie Freeman, while you were talking there, I looked it up 58th overall on the Fangraphs player rater. So even though he was fifth at the position, to have a top 10 pick go 58. No, not belly up, but yeah, not
great. Not ideal is the best way I would say it on that one. Any other takeaways for you when you're looking at the overall board here?
No, I don't. I honestly don't know what to do about this position next year because, again, the last two seasons, like if you went early, or at least this season, if you went early, you weren't that happy, but you were even less happy if you shopped late. So, like, maybe just like don't be happy.
Yeah, I think I'd rather just take my chances later and play the wire at this point because there are three guys that finished in the top 20 on the wire. So who do we have on this list, Ryan? Because I know I rostered the one that finished 20th in a lot of leagues by the end of the league.
What a segue. I love it. So our three quote-unquote breakouts, and what I'm calling a breakout here is anyone who finished top 20 at the position that was drafted outside the top 30. Alec Burleson finished 8th at a 450 ADP, so it was barrel season for a good number of a good amount of 2024. Luke Rayleigh finished 19th with the 400 ADP, and then Michael Bush finished 20th at a 355 ADP. So you had plenty of Michael Bush.
Yeah, once he stopped platooning, when injuries caught up, and like even Bellinger came back, I was like, the thing, Bellinger's coming back, Bush won't play. No, Bellinger went to the outfield. Bush kept playing every day. And then Paredes came and just stayed at third base. Like there was once Bush became an everyday guy, I was all over that. And it was pretty nice towards the end.
It was interesting. Alec Burleson, I want to bring up because actually in the meatball draft that we're in, I almost took Alec Burleson for outfield because he's outfield only next year, 15 games at first base in 2024. So maybe depending on your league, he's first base. Alec Burleson actually took my guy over him, George Springer.
Oh, no.
I could see you shaking your head as I clicked the draft button. But Alec Burleson did have a great year. Is 25. Did not finish well. And I don't see how he gets another 593 plate appearances again. He cannot hit lefties. So, and it's not one of those, like it's a young guy. He was a platoon off the bat. Alec Burleson had 140 plate appearances against lefties, made a good amount of contact, but dude, he hit 196 with a 229 on base against lefties. I just don't see how the Cardinals can play Alec Burleson against lefties unless they see something, you know, obviously beyond the stats that I think he can do it. But like that, this looks like a strict platoon bat to me for next year. So I passed on him, but
Cardinals have a lot of those. And then trying to predict what Ollie Marmol is going to do is a whole nother situation. So
I know.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you 100%. It feels like a Reds thing all over again. Look at 2025, and then two injuries will take place, and the guys play every day. That's just it's one of those deals. Draft skills, not roles. But what you're saying is skills versus lefties aren't good. So
yeah, like do you even want him playing against lefties? If he does play, and they get two it's like lefties the Jock for Peterson, a week.
He needs to be on Jock's team. They can just share playing time. Yeah, that'd be the jam.
I don't know. I probably maybe Springer wasn't the pivot there. I think you would agree.
Well, I wrote down in big letters here, Burleson versus Springer to maybe revisit at some point in time. Don't you worry. It is right here, folks, on the paper.
Look at the page. Look at it.
It's right there, folks. Don't you worry.
Why did you print out the page?
Because it's what I do. I write stuff down. I mark things up. Man, you think 177 episodes in, he'd understand what I'm doing over here. And he still, every time he sees me printing out papers, he just laughs like, "Why?"
Yeah, at least you have a color printer. That, like, the best would be if it was like black and white
with your colored charts. Yeah. Oh, well, that would be what you'd expect. But no, I at least have a colored printer. Yes.
That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff.
All right, a couple comments I saved from the chat here. Martin Sikulski says, the Mandalorian will save the position in 2025. Kyle Manzardo will be interesting. That will be very interesting for 2025.
Saving the position is a take, but we like takes in October. It's a good time of year for that.
MB wants to know, does Paredes find his power stroke again in Wrigley? Not a good ballpark for Paredes. I'll put it that way.
Agreed. I think most people saw that trade to Chicago as a pretty big negative for Isak. And if he's not hitting home runs, the batting average, I mean, he hit .238 this year. I don't see much room for growth on that one either.
No, in leagues I roster Paredes and like DCs, he wasn't in my lineups very often once he went to Chicago. It just was like there was other options, even platoon options that had better situations than Isak had going on for himself. So something else to keep in mind. But all right, Ryan, we're going to wrap it up there. A little Friday matinee, first base review. Any other thoughts before you get a good night's sleep and get ready to go to Eugene for an awesome Saturday of football?
Yeah, I am unfortunately going to miss some Saturday baseball, but I will be down at the Oregon-Ohio State game. So cannot wait for that one. Been looking forward to that one for, I'd say, over a year at this point. No other thoughts. Fun chat. Nice to see some of those East Coasters, a little bit of a different crowd this time. We love all crowds, but it's cool to see, a midday thing. So glad we could fit this in around my power outage. And I guess we'll do, unless either of us come up with anything better, we'll just continue on and do second base on Tuesday.
On Monday, we'll be coming to you Monday night.
Monday, that's right. That's right.
Monday night this week. Just other stuff going on Tuesday, but Monday night we'll be recording
I'll say why we're recording when we do it on Monday. Don't you worry.
Can save it for Monday. But yeah, Monday night we'll be doing the second base preview, and then I think we'll be back at our normal schedule after that. We'll see. It's remember, I guaranteed 2 episodes a week during the off season.
That's our commitment. Yes. We it may not be everything, but yeah, we will continue that.
But on that note, we'll wrap it up there. Make sure y'all follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and I am at BD Intrick. Until next time, this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 177. Catch y'all later.